right, everybody, welcome into the Canis Hoopus post-game reaction show. If you are here, good for you. Because if that were, if I'm home watching that game on TV, I'd take a shower and pretty much head to bed. Get the nasty off, maybe settle in for a game five after a completely backbreaking loss. In game four, for the Minnesota Timberwolves. There's going to be a few things that go into this game that we'll get to. It's a 128-126 loss for the Minnesota Timberwolves in game four, a game in which they threw, game three was their best punch of the series, but game four, you could make an argument, was up there for their best punch of the series. You got the game from the bench that you wanted, and the game that you needed all playoffs long. People were wondering, where's Dante DiVincenzo, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, even Naz Reid, too, for the first two rounds. They were almost... I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, so I'm going to go ahead and see what's happening here. I'm getting some feedback. Not sure what the problem is. I'm going to go ahead and try. Sorry, I don't know what the heck is happening here. It's a 128-126 loss. And sorry, I don't know what the heck. All right, guys, we're having some audio issues. I'm getting 128-126 loss. We're having some. For some reason, I'm getting completely played back, and I'm hearing what I said about 10 seconds ago played back in my headphones. I'm going to try a couple things here on my end, hoping that we can maybe make this a little bit better. For some reason, I'm getting completely played back. Okay. I think that's good. I think that's a little bit better. I had it open in another tab, my live broadcast. We're a one-man band here, so we're doing our best. Let's start this back over. 128-126, Wolves lose. And I think that there's a couple things you can look at. This is the bench game that you needed all along. I mean, this is the bench game that you've been looking for the first two rounds of the playoffs, and you finally got. You have Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who has 23 points tonight. I would make the argument, and I certainly will, that it was his best game in a Timberwolves uniform. He was unbelievable on both ends of the floor, reminiscent of that play-in game a couple years ago against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the defense that he played on him. Maybe not the offensive impact that he had tonight, but certainly defensively was very good and was another body that they were able to throw at Shai. Dante DiVincenzo was completely back on track. He had 21 points and was shooting it effectively from three. Naz Reid only had 11 points, but he was 3-for-4 from the field, an efficient night for him. I thought he was relatively neither here nor there on the defensive side of the ball. But look, man, like at the end of the day, the top three players for Oklahoma City came to play. They delivered the knockout blow in the fourth quarter. And they were better than the Wolves' top three players, even though you have the bench picking you up. Even though you have all of your depth pieces playing really well, Terrence Shannon came in and gave some really nice minutes again. Got hurt in the first half, but came back in, and I thought was still pretty effective. You got everything you wanted, except for an effective night from your top two players. let's go through the game flow a little bit, because the first half was a little bit different from the second half, and it set up the second half to essentially be a good on good down the stretch. Rudy Gobert finishes the first half with zero defensive rebounds. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Chet Holmgren was the primary center, and I see him up in the stands now. He has a massive contingent of people here from Minnehaha, and it looks like Jalen Suggs is here as well. Anthony Black also here. Chet Holmgren was the primary five when Rudy Gobert was on the floor, and it was clear that the Oklahoma City game plan was, let's take Chet, let's bring him out to the perimeter, let's bring Rudy out to the perimeter, essentially giving Rudy two assignments, and then Shea, outside of, like, didn't really get to his mid-range spots as much, but got a lot of his production from behind the three-point line and inside the paint. I mean, at the end of the day, the Wolves have perimeter defense. They have great perimeter defenders, but they don't have a lot of guys that can stay in front of someone like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And that was the gamble that Oklahoma City took. Isaiah Hartenstein played 10 first half minutes. 10. Which, that doesn't typically happen. I mean, that's a relatively sizable adjustment. And then Alex Caruso comes out and starts the second half for them. It was not something that Isaiah Hartenstein played a major role in. This. They tried to stretch Rudy out and make him defend two different spots on the floor. Not necessarily two people, but two different spots on the floor. And that was kind of the story of the first half. I mean, even with getting drawn out to the perimeter, Rudy Gobert finishing the first half with zero defensive rebounds is an abomination. You can't do it. He wasn't good enough. That's true. But two things can be true in that the Thunder game plan took him out of position for a lot of rebounds, and it was effective. And the other players on the Wolves, especially Julius Randle, who's your next biggest guy in the lineup, couldn't pick up that slack. He wasn't able to, and he was the worst player that got minutes for the Wolves tonight. The guy that got you here, your X factor, essentially, because he's your X factor. He was really good in the Lakers series, really good in the Warriors. I mean, he is the reason that you are here in the Western Conference Finals. Ant's been good, like other guys have been good, but it's been Julius Randle, and he's the worst guy on your roster tonight. So getting back to that, Rudy Gobert finishes the first half with zero defensive rebounds. The other thing too, the Wolves finished the first half with 12 turnovers. Double-digit turnovers. You're on pace for 24 turnovers for the game. Infamously wrong against Oklahoma City. Something you infamously cannot do. A team that makes you pay. Takes the ball, scores points off turnovers, and starts the bleeding. You can't turn the ball over 12 times in the first half. And then Anthony Edwards took four shots. Which, again, that was by design from Oklahoma City. They were essentially showing three defenders every time Ant tried to get to the basket. You had your initial point of attack defender, which was Lou Dort. And then you had essentially Caruso and Jalen Williams that were at the elbows guarding guys that were in the slots. And they were making Ant get rid of the ball. And I would make the argument that I think Ant did the right thing offensively tonight. I think defensively he was pretty abysmal. He lost a lot of back cuts, did not rebound the ball well, didn't do a good job gang rebounding, but thought he was fine offensively. His stat line isn't going to show that, but he played well enough to win the game. It was his wingman that didn't necessarily do the job, and Rudy Gobert didn't really do the job. He just wasn't quite effective enough on the offensive end to be able to get it done. So all of those things, you have all of those three things. You head into halftime still with an 8-point deficit, very reasonable. You can absolutely work with an 8-point deficit, especially given all of the shortcomings that you've had in the first half. It's also pretty notable, too, that after the first quarter, Oklahoma City was, the Thunder had they had the lead for the rest of the game. They didn't give it up. It was pesky 6-point leads. It was pesky 7-point leads. It's a team that dares you to go on 6-0 runs, on 7-0 runs. And then you do, and then they make winning plays. They come right back at you. And that was the case tonight. At the end of the day, your best players have to show up for you, and they have to make plays. And tonight, that just didn't quite happen. We can go through the game flow a little bit here. Wolves had a couple quick leads in the first quarter, but essentially from the six-ish minute mark on, the Thunder didn't give any rope. It was these 6-point leads. I mean, there were a couple times where they would stretch it to 10, 12, but it was never insurmountable. They just kind of yo-yoed these mediocre leads back and forth, and the Wolves made charges to it. Dante was unbelievable in the second half. He had two straight threes in the third quarter that brought the game tied. It was 79-79, I believe, at that point in time. This little blip there in the third quarter, that was 79-79. That was right after Dante hit a three. It felt like the Wolves were maybe going to get a little bit of momentum. And then here come the Thunder back. And the theme continued to play on. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talk tonight about, hey, why was that lead never flipped on its head? Why couldn't the Wolves go out and just get a 2-3-point lead and see what they could do with it? Some of that's going to be attributed to rebounding. I think that evened out a little bit in the second half. I mean, you look at second chance points. The Wolves had more second chance points. I think I would say the gravity of the Thunder's 24 second chance points was greater just because they came at completely backbreaking times. I mean, it was right when the Wolves were making those runs. It was the 79-79 point. It was, you know, like when the Thunder would go up five, like the Wolves would go hit a three, and then it would be a 2-point lead, and then Thunder would get another offensive rebound. I leaned over to Ryan Eichten in the fourth quarter. There were 9 minutes left. Chet missed a three. Oklahoma City scooped the rebound up. Chet cut from the right above the break in to the basket, got the feed, and dunked it essentially with no defender on him, and that stretched the lead to 9 points. And that point, I was like, okay, this game is over. Granted, I may have spoken a little bit too soon, thinking that, you know, there's not really much of a way that the Wolves are going to come back. They ended up making a nice little run. But I thought at that point, when you can't get rebounds and you can't vacuum them up when you're down seven and essentially desperation mode, it's just going to break the Thunder's way. You then head down a few more minutes in the fourth quarter. You say, you know, what could possibly happen at this point? Wolves got the lead down to three. They got it down to two. And then with 3:30 left in the fourth quarter, Jalen Williams gets the ball. 3:32 was the exact mark. Jalen Williams gets a wide open kick out. And he was 6-for-9 from three tonight. I thought he was the Thunder's second best player. He is the Thunder's second best player. And he played like the Thunder's second best player tonight. 6-of-9 from three. Hits a dagger three with 3:32 left. Brought the lead from 4-7. And then shortly after that, at the two-minute mark, the Wolves got it back down to four. Maybe it was three at that point. Either way, it was one possession or just outside of one possession. And the Timberwolves show two defenders at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He kicks it out to J-Dub in the slot, wide open because Jaden is helping off of him and essentially leaves him wide open. I don't know if that's a defensive lapse. I don't know if that's what the Wolves were trying to do. But he gets a wide open three and daggers the Wolves. And you can talk about, hey, you know, the Wolves brought it to 1 point, 2 points there at the end of the game. That was where the game ended. It was when was when J-Dub hit those two threes. So that's your game. You had your bench performance. Dante DiVincenzo had 21. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 23. Naz Reid had 11 points on 3-for-4 shooting. You want to know your problem? The game set up in the fourth quarter where their hustle stats were relatively even. And your second chance points evened up. Your rebounding evened up. The Wolves actually ended up out-rebounding Oklahoma City. Your field goal percentage was very similar. Your three-point percentage is very similar. Your fast break points, the Wolves actually had an advantage in. The best players the Thunder had played better than the best players the Wolves had. Especially looking at number 30 in a Wolves uniform. From the very start of the game, Julius Randle was off. He wasn't handling the Alex Caruso assignment very well. He didn't handle the physicality. He didn't handle the face guarding very well. It clearly rattled him quite a bit. And it parlayed for the rest of the game. Finished the game with 5 points. Matched it with 5 turnovers and didn't deliver down the stretch when his team needed him. He was 1-for-7 from the field. Had a couple pretty good looks at three. But I also thought, too, that the shots that he took from beyond the arc, it wasn't good shot selection at that point in the game. When you're 1-for-7, you don't have any sort of rhythm whatsoever. He's taking movement threes above the break. He's taking movement threes from the corner, like stuff that he makes when he's hot, but he was the furthest thing from hot tonight. He was 0-for-3. He didn't hit a single three-pointer. He ended the game -2. Ant ended the game -3. And those are your two best players. And I think for Ant's side, I touched on it a little bit. I don't think he was terrible offensively. I think you could talk about his passiveness in the first half. He could have generated a little bit more with the gravity that he was pulling. I wouldn't make any argument against that. I think that he certainly could have done more with how much attention Oklahoma City was giving him, how much the Thunder were respecting his drive. I thought his issue was defensively, man. He was getting some pretty easy defensive matchups, ones that he typically locks up on the ball. Like, he was drawing the Lou Dort matchup. He was defending Caruso. Like, they were giving him possessions off on that end. And he was getting beat back door. He couldn't box his guy out. 4 rebounds tonight for Anthony Edwards. I think that's an indictment on his positioning. I think it was a really bad night for him positioning himself on the defensive side of the ball. Plays 40 minutes. He's -3. And he didn't really do anything to pick the bench up. I mean, all of these things together, and you still had the chance to pull the game out. You just didn't end up making the plays. That's really what this game came down to. Julius Randle, 5 points, 5 turnovers. And then at the end of the game, like, Shea makes almost all of his free throws. He missed one that made the game a little bit more entertaining at the end. But Chet Holmgren blocked a Nikhil Alexander layup with 35 seconds left to erase a game that would have been really interesting at that point had that shot fallen. And he made the play. Shea went for 40. Chet went for 21 on 64% shooting. He was a blowtorch. Made 2 of his 3s. Something that he's been very on and off with. I don't understand how Jalen Williams ended up being a minus two. He was incredible, especially in the fourth quarter. Those are the top three Thunder players. 40 points from your MVP. 21 from your third guy on a hyper-efficient shooting night. And 34 from J-Dub, who made the plays down the stretch. And Shea hit the free throws. Tonight, you can't really... I just don't really want to hear about the officiating tonight. It was a make or miss game, despite all of the things that went wrong for the Wolves. Despite all of the things that went wrong for the Wolves in the first half. Whatever position that they were in. Down 8 points. You just didn't make enough plays. You didn't make enough plays to win the game. You were good on good in the last 5 minutes. Really in the last 7 minutes, because that's kind of when Chet started to percolate a little bit more. You were good on good. And the Thunder were better. The Thunder played better. And that's essentially what it came down to. Let's talk a little bit about Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Because even though SGA went for 40 and Nickeil saw a lot of him tonight defensively, I thought this was Nickeil Alexander-Walker's best game in a Timberwolves jersey. I don't think it's particularly close either. I mean, I know he's had some really nice regular season games. But this is a hell of a rebound from him. He's the type of guy where it's a roller coaster. It's a 5-game stretch of just complete awfulness. And then it's a 5-game to 10-game stretch of a role player, a bench player, just completely playing out of their mind. And tonight was that for Nickeil. 9 for 15 from the field, 5 for 8 from 3. He had so many big shots in the fourth quarter. So many big shots in the fourth quarter. And he kept them in the game. Him and Dante kept the Wolves in the game. 21 points for Dante. But Nickeil was hitting these shots, then he was going down and defending Shea. He was fighting over screens. The Wolves did not do a lot of switching in the fourth quarter. I'm just seeing now from Dane, and Ant is saying exactly kind of what I said earlier. Ant made all the right plays. He's saying that in the locker room right now. Dane mentions here he's a little bit frustrated just because he didn't have the shot attempt opportunities. He didn't have the opportunity to be the hero as much down the stretch. But he made the right plays. Sorry, I'm just kind of catching up on some of the stuff that's that's coming out of post game here. I'm just kind of interested to see what Finch has maybe said and what some of the other guys have said. Nickeil's in the locker room. It seems like he's talking. He's very similar to what you would maybe think. Down 3-1, they're still very optimistic that they can come back. Look, I think the Thunder are going to close this thing out. And I don't know if it's going to be in 5 games. It could be in 6 games. But the Thunder are going to close this game out, or they close this series out. And when they do, we're going to look back on tonight and say the Timberwolves' top two options just were not good enough. Ant defensively, Julius on both sides of the ball. And that's your story. Even when the bench caught as much heat as they have for the whole playoffs, they came to play tonight. And your top two players didn't get it done. Your Collinsworth slide-in is going to happen here. Here's your moment. Coming back from locker room, podium session. We talked a little bit about how Ant thought he made the right plays all night. That's what I've kind of talked about a little bit here. I thought Ant offensively was not the problem. I thought he was a little passive maybe in the first half.
Yeah.
Ducked out of some shots that he maybe should have taken. Used his gravity a little bit more to the Wolves' advantage. But offensively, I thought he was fine. Defensively, I thought he was pretty bad. But I mean, it was Julius Randle, and I still think that, you know, they might be optimistic about things, but this is ultimately going to be a Thunder closeout here in the next couple games.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily count the Wolves out in a game five or even a game six or in the series. Like, there's no reason to take a, like, I always kind of think, like, there's no need to round down. Yes, the Wolves are very unlikely to win the series, but it's not zero, for whatever that's worth. But yeah, I think that was the biggest takeaway from locker room stuff, first of all. Ant kind of saying that he felt like he made the right plays most of the game and did say, like, he should have gotten a few more shots. And that's kind of, I think I would tend to agree with that. In the whole, I thought his offensive game was, I wouldn't call it a good game, but it was fine.
I thought he was fine.
Not really the reason, like the biggest reason. I think you can pick out plays or even stretches of play. Like, he should have played better. I think that's, even offensively, I think it's fair. But
here's the thing with my
offense. Ultimately, they scored a ton of points against the best defense in the past 2 years in the NBA. I think spending extra time on that portion of Ant's game, I think, isn't really worth it.
Here's my thing with Ant's game is it's a bad offensive game for him when he pushes, like when he tries to assert himself on a defense that's not giving him much. And that's what it was tonight. Like, if he would have been more assertive, if he would have taken more shots, I think that the Wolves find themselves an even worse hole at halftime than 8 points. And they ultimately probably don't knot the game up in the third quarter either. I thought he took what the defense gave him and the bench benefited from it. I thought, like, frankly for me, like, offensively, like, yes, it wasn't great. Like, I'm looking at Julius Randle tonight. Like, this was a Julius game where he came completely unglued, did not hold up to any physicality whatsoever from Alex Caruso and, like, other defensive mismatches that the Thunder threw at him, and came completely unglued. Like, he's the reason you got here. And now he's the reason that you're down 3-1, essentially. I mean, just not didn't even make the right plays. Like, it was just like, not only was he not making shots, not only was he not producing, he wasn't even making the right plays out of the stuff that he was given.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think we've kind of agreed. It's not necessarily, like, the reason Ant's point total wasn't the reason they lost the game. But Jalen Williams and Shea combined for 70-plus.
Yep.
And Ant and Randle combined for 21. That's killer. And it's not, with Ant specifically, it's not to criticize necessarily shot taking or any of that, but it's more to criticize how the offense got their offense. And the Thunder offense was able to get the ball to their best players and allow them to make shots, and the Wolves did the exact opposite. But ultimately, again, like, the Wolves scored how many points? 120-something against
126.
The turnovers were, that was the biggest thing from the, all of them agreed. I mean, it's just obvious that the turnovers, them turning the ball over a lot, I think is less frustrating. It's not any less impactful, but it's less frustrating because that is what the Thunder do. They force a ton of turnovers. Still too many from the Wolves tonight, but ultimately, I think you can you can see the reason why that happened. It was partially the Thunder defense and obviously a lot on the Wolves. The rebounding is just totally unacceptable because the Thunder are not a good offensive rebounding team. At least they weren't in the regular season. Maybe that has more to do with Chet and Holmgren playing very few games together, and then, like, the minute Chet came back, Hartenstein got
Hartenstein,
hurt.
Yeah.
So, but, and it's weird that, like, actually the Wolves had more second chance points. They had more total offensive rebounds, or the same number. So it wasn't even but it's just like, you can't let them offensive rebound like that. The Wolves' margin of error to win the series and this game, obviously, is just so slim. They had to do that type of stuff, the little things, the turn it over 3 less times, grab 2 more defensive rebounds than you did, and the Wolves win this game going away. And that's just going to hurt. And it's a whole team thing. Obviously, Rudy's like the biggest person you think of right away.
Yeah.
But
I think Rudy had a bad game. But I look more at Julius just because I thought that, like, he's – The game compounds into him. Like, he has to make the right play out of the, like, when he gets the ball, he either has to take the right shot or he has to make the right pass. And he didn't do either of those things every time he touched the ball tonight. I don't think he made the right play. I could maybe point to maybe 1 or 2 times where I could say, yeah, he made a nice pass out of the situation that you were in. But even outside of the points, it was the shot selection too. Like, moving above the break threes, moving corner threes when he's 0-for-3 and clearly in a hole. Sure, you can take those shots when you're in a rhythm and you're hot, but he was neither of those things tonight. And it showed, like there's a lot of responsibility on him in this offense, especially when Ant's getting shown three guys every time he touches the ball. Like, three guys. Like, Julius has to take some of that stress off of him, and he didn't do that tonight. The bench certainly did, but you need someone else from your top three group, like your top three players on this team. They need to show up and do something, whether it's Rudy rebounding the ball, Julius passing and shooting. Like, they have to arrive to the party, and they just didn't do it tonight.
Yeah.
It was good on good. I know that there's some of the team stats that were in my main point here is all of that stuff came back around in the second half. Like, rebounding came back around in the second half. Points off turnovers came back in the second half. Second chance points, the Wolves actually ended up having more second chance points. It set up for this game to be good on good in the last 4 minutes, and the Thunder's good was better than the Wolves' good.
Yeah. I will say, I do think that the path to winning this series to me is still more, I think the Wolves have had a better chance, and I should say half. The series not over. But this one is less demoralizing, I think, than the Dallas loss, where the Dallas series loss, I still don't, there wasn't a way for them to win that series. Even if they go up 2-0, I think Dallas still wins that series. They were able to pick apart. This series and the Thunder are clearly better, and these versions of these teams, the Thunder are going to win a grand majority. But I do think, I don't come away from this Thunder series being like, oof, the Wolves have no chance of beating the Thunder in a playoff series ever. I think they obviously need to play better in all the ways we've talked about. I want to talk about the defense, because to me that's the biggest, if you want to, the biggest picture thing was they couldn't get stops. And obviously part of that was the offensive rebounding giving the Thunder second chances at it. But even when they didn't, SGA got to his spots, Jalen Williams got to his spots, and then some of the key, we didn't bash Ant for his offense, but I think
you bash him for his defense.
His defense, I think, was really, really bad in this game. There's multiple times where it was he was helping Strongside. I remember it was right at the end of the first half. He helped right one pass away, Strongside quarter, something the Wolves defense was doing all night, very frustratingly so, and then missed wide open three, and Ant is the one staring there, not going for the rebound.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Ant's man back cutting, and there's multiple fourth quarter back cuts by Caruso that were just killers. And some of that was you don't need the word, but SGA had a kick out pass through Jaden's legs on the ground. I'll have to go back and watch if that should have been called a travel. I don't remember. But he and Jalen Williams knocks down a three. That's just killer stuff. There's so many. I mean, I think you gotta come away impressed with OKC, both games 4 and 5 of the Denver series.
Really impressed with OKC.
Where their season was on the line. And this game tonight.
Yeah.
I think you got to be impressed with what they've done. I thought that the lack of veterans for their roster was going to eventually be an issue for them. And it just hasn't. And especially in this series, they've played the more veteran team in this series.
Chet Holmgren did tonight what Julius Randle has been doing in the playoffs, and what the Wolves need if they wanted to be a finals team. That's what they needed from Julius Randle, a hyper efficient 21 points for Chet. He's 9 of 14, 2 of 4 from 3, 7 rebounds.
30 shots from Chet.
30 shots, 40 points. But that's the thing, is it's like you can afford to do that when you have a guy like Chet who's stepping in and going almost 70% from the field. I mean, he was really good tonight. Not only even the rebounds that he didn't get, he was making every single loose ball tough for the Wolves, to the point where it's the Thunder talk about, hey, we're going to force you to call a foul on the perimeter. The Thunder were forcing the refs to call fouls on the floor getting the ball. And that was part of the reason that the Wolves had such a difficulty rebounding the basketball. They just didn't really want to be physical down there. And they were forcing Rudy to guard two different spots on the floor by guarding Chet on the perimeter and also having to be by the basket to rebound too. It was a chicken or the egg situation, and you really couldn't make the right choice. And because of that, they were able to muck up the paint, and they were able to make things really difficult. And Chet Holmgren was a big part of that. When you have a third banana who comes out and plays this well tonight, I mean, frankly, I'd give player of the game to Jalen Williams, even though Shea had 40 points. J-Dub had the two biggest shots of the game down the stretch. It's the three best players for the Thunder came to play, and they do not look young. They look experienced. They look like they can close games out. They look like they can take pressure and flip it on its head, especially when the Wolves bring it to 79-79 in the third quarter. The Thunder pulled right back ahead, and the lead it never got to a tie again. They have been incredibly impressive. And yes, it's a Wolves loss. I'd say it's more of a Thunder win.
The Wolves, with the rebounding and the turnovers, the Wolves should have had a lead down the stretch instead of being down. That's the biggest thing. Like, down the stretch, I think it was fine. My question would be, like, defensively, should the Wolves have tried to double Shea more and get it out of his hands? And it's easy to sit here and say that now when their strategy that they rolled out there tonight didn't work. But I also just think you have to – I don't think that would have worked either.
They tried, but it's like, you have Chet Holmgren at one slot and you have J-Dub at another slot. Like, who are you going to help off of?
And Dort was fouled out. They had Caruso, who's been knocking down shots all series.
Chet's 2-for-4 from three. J-Dub is 6-of-9 from three. You can't help off of either of those guys just to be able to get the ball out of Shea's hand, because then he gets the ball out of his hand and it goes to one of the guys who's shooting lights out from three. I mean, they made you think tonight, and it was a Thunder win. At the end of the day, I do get what you're saying, where it's like the turnovers, like, yes, they absolutely could have done that. They absolutely could have done less of that for sure. But tactically, it's just really hard to get the ball out of Shea's hand and leave someone open from three when the Thunder were shooting it the way that they were down the stretch. And the Wolves did try to do that. They did try to do that multiple times, and it was how J-Dub hit the two biggest shots of the game.
Yeah. It's just, I think, writ large, if we want to kind of, should we move to, like, big picture thoughts?
Sure.
Season thoughts, big picture thoughts. I think this loss is going to sting for a long time. You hope that it doesn't. I hope it only stings for 12 months, because hopefully they can get some sort of, or maybe it's hopefully sings for 48 hours or whatever, and you're able to, and we're playing back here on Friday. Although a game 5 win would kind of make it sting more at this point. The only way you're going to make this not sting is to roll off at least 2 in a row. But I think this is going to sting for a long time. The path to the title was there. Not a giant gaping path, but it was there. You win tonight and you're back in the series. You're still not favored, but obviously if you win 2 in a row, one blowout, one close game, you got to feel good about something there. And if they play better, they turn the ball over a few less times. Shea gets called for an elbow in Nikhil's face. Or you grab some offensive rebounds and you're tied 2-2. And I think that's kind of my biggest picture. I just think Ant's got a lot of growing to do. As far as fantastic of a player he is, he's got He's got a lot of growing to do in very, very specific areas, as every 23-year-old superstar does. And he'll need to get better at that. They have him under contract for 4 more seasons, and they'll have the right to pay him some obscene, like, SGA winning MVP. He's going to get paid $76 million a year on his next contract. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get paid like $80 million a year on it or more.
He's got a few more years for that to happen.
Right,
yeah.
For sure. But the Wolves will have the opportunity to pay him more than anyone else. But I think this is going to sting for a long time. You had it. It was right there. There's no shame in losing the series, even if it's on Wednesday night in 5 games. They had a fantastic season either way. We'll talk about in whatever post-game wrap pod in media sessions, we'll talk about all the good and bad of it. But ultimately, there's points in the season where it's just like, just make the playoffs. Make a second round would be phenomenal. And they came up and they took what I think is going to be the NBA champion's best punch. So it's successful, but you never know when you're going to get back. I have every expectation that the Wolves will be back next year, the year after. Everyone should. But you also just, like, never know. Okay, mm-hmm. Look at this franchise. The OKC Thunder would have said that when they lost in the finals in 5 games. And they never made it back. It's going to take them, 13 years for that franchise to get back with a completely new organization. And again, Anthony Edwards, I've never been as confident in a basketball player or an athlete as I have been in Anthony Edwards. But you just never know. And it's setting up to be back-to-back seasons where, and this one might sing more because I don't think the Wolves weren't going to be Boston, even if they got through Dallas, and where this is flipped, where I do think if they were able to find a way to get this through the series, I think they would likely win a finals against whoever is coming out of the East. But I think it's fair to have two separate thoughts in your head. One being, this stings. They had an opportunity to make the finals, and they just, what seeming like they're not going to be able to get over the hump, while also realizing this was an incredibly successful, at least postseason, but I think this successful postseason overshadows any regular season disappointment.
Yeah, I think you're dead on with that. I will say, big picture thoughts is, well, one, see if you can win two in a row. I don't think it's impossible to win two in a row and maybe force a game seven. I do think that Oklahoma City is ultimately going to win the series, and the Thunder are going to win the series and move on to the NBA Finals. But see if you can win two in a row and see if you can maybe generate a little bit of momentum for yourself. But I'm with you that this is a gut punch of a loss. I mean, you...
quickly, at least game five, make it... if you lose in game five, ignoring the however it gets, if you lose a close game five, we can live with it. If they come out in game five and like just let go of the rope immediately, that would might maybe change my overall opinion. But at least, like don't give up.
No, I'm you have to generate a little bit of momentum for yourself and see if you can win two in a row. My next thing too is, I think that this is going to raise Rudy Gobert questions in the offseason. This is, especially with how much you are going to be paying him. I know that he took a pay cut with his contract extension, his de facto pay cut.
He's not overpaid, but
you have to question, for his impact that he has had on this team at this point in time, what is that worth to you in the next 2 years? I mean, like, there, I think that we're now sitting here in the Western Conference Finals, and Rudy Gobert has made a sizable impact in two games.
What's the other one?
Both elimination games for the Warriors and the Lakers. He's had two games where he has made the impact that his contract deserves and affords to him.
Two and a half. Give him game three.
I'll give him two and a half, sure. But that's not enough. That's not enough. And especially in a series against a team that's not, like you said, like, not a great rebounding team. Like, that question has to be asked. And like, I think that Ant, no matter what in his career, he is going to need to learn to play with a dive big. Like, that needs to be a thing in his progression as a wing, as a guard, as a primary ball handler. Like, that is a non-negotiable. But he doesn't have the trust when he gets two or three guys thrown at him to give the ball to Rudy. And frankly, I don't blame him this postseason. It hasn't been good. Like, Rudy's lost the ball so many times. He calls for the ball, gets it, and then gets smoked by a backside help defender. Like, there are too many things where you ask, like, at this five position where you need someone to protect the rim and play a set and help play a set defense with all of these guys that you have on the wings that can stop the ball, like, what's your incremental gain and loss at that spot given the contract number that Rudy is at? And like, for me, that's my number one question. If there's a big roster shakeup that happens this offseason, and maybe I'm getting a little bit too ahead of myself here, but that's the first person I'm looking to. Like, Nikhil, I don't think Nikhil is going to be back next year. I do think this might have been his last Target Center game, as Kaltuggy tweeted. And
impressive one.
What an unbelievable way to go out. Like, maybe he does get another one here at Target Center. I do not think he's going to be back next year. We'll see about that. My number one thing, like, if there is an unexpected move, like, you have to look at number 27 here.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, it's obviously premature in the sense of the series isn't over. I looked at you at one point in the game and said, if they got the Rudy from game five of the Lakers game, even a third of the time, or even like once a series, I mean, if they got that game tonight, they win.
Yeah. 100%.
If they had gotten it in either of the first two games in OKC, they probably win one of those two.
Yep.
They needed that, especially if Julius is going to be at best 50-50 in a series like this.
Yep.
They needed Rudy to be dominant down low. And I agree that certainly something you're looking at, but ultimately as well, it's not as simple as just like losing his salary so you can retain someone else. Because if you take this version of this team, and even if you're retaining Nikhil in some sort of scenario, this team minus Rudy Gobert isn't good enough.
No, you need someone who can protect the rim.
Yes.
For sure.
And specifically defensively, like a Reed Randall front court is just, as it did tonight and really all playoffs, has gotten torched defensively.
No, that can't be your only identity. You need someone who you can dynamically close games with. Like, if it's a slower paced game, you need to sit down and guard. Like, you do need a Rudy Gobert. But
yeah. So if there is some theoretical, like, Durant for Rudy Gobert trade?
Or, no, I'm like
you need. I mean, that's fine or even good, but like there needs to be I don't think Naz Reid is a starting center on a championship level.
He's not starting power forward either. And I'm not saying no to a Durant trade for Rudy Gobert, like a swap. Like, you just have to find someone back who you can, who again, can be a rim protector and who can be effective. Like, you look at Isaiah Hartenstein and you're like, you're, you know, granted, he's kind of an exception just because of how exceptional he is relative to how much he's getting paid. Like, he's a really good player. But that's the type of person that you need to have who can, like, be effective in these games. And, like, Rudy on paper is that. Like, he's done that so many times, but you can't disappear like this, man. Like, no defensive rebounds in the first half is, like, that's a new one. Like, you have a distinct size advantage. Like, height-wise, sure, Chet Holmgren's right there. You have 40 pounds on Chet Holmgren. Yeah. You have a distinct size advantage on this team that does not rebound the ball well, and you come away at halftime with zero defensive rebounds, that just can't happen. Like, you just, those are the types of things where you look at Rudy and you just say, like what's the switch? Where is it? And, like, what triggers that? Because you've seen him be so great at points. Like, that game five against LA in Staples Center, like, that one is going to go down as an all time great individual Timberwolves performance in franchise history. Absolutely.
And staring at the place where he hit it a year ago.
It is going to go down as an all-time individual Timberwolves performance. But for one of those games, you have had four stinkers so far in the playoffs. And you just – or dang, serious, because I think he actually has had some good defensive stuff happen that's on the margins. But, like, just overall, like – ineffectiveness on the glass. I mean, he has to control the glass and he hasn't done that. So that's the question that I ask. But even before that, like, cart before the horse, the thing I would look forward to, just to advance the story, is just throw this punch again and see if you can win two games in a row. Because I do think it's good enough if you can have a Randle game and he can come back and maybe see a couple things on film as what Caruso was doing with him, like what the Thunder were doing physicality wise. That can maybe help you play a little bit better and make the right play, because if you do have just a little bit better of a game from Julius Randle, like, this is a completely different game and you win. Throw this punch again a couple more times and see if you can take it to game seven. That would be my number one thing that you can say. And the bench, like, welcome back, like, welcome to the party. They're clearly here. So just see what you can do.
Maybe a frustration point or not. I don't know. Something that stings is just like, if you'd gotten more of this from the bench earlier in the series, you probably split in OKC. And I think almost as much as losing this game is tough, just not being able to find a way to win either game in Oklahoma City, largely due to two stints in the third quarter. Because I think that was probably the game trend that would have gotten the Wolves into the series, was splitting in OKC, splitting at home, and kind of going and then trying to salvage winning either games five or seven while winning game six at home. And it's just a tall task to beat them two in a row. Unfortunately, now if they want to,
the only way you're going to do it.
Now they got to get three in a row, yeah. Two of which against Oklahoma City, where they've just been deadly in this postseason. How many have they just lost? I believe they've lost one postseason game on the road, and it was the crazy Aaron Gordon play at the end of the
clutch.
Westbrook passes him the ball, and so it took a fluke is probably the wrong word, but I'll use it anyway.
Took a miracle Aaron Gordon shot to beat them.
To beat Oklahoma City on the road, and now the Wolves got it two times. But I think one thing they said, and obviously there's not much else for them to say, but like they got to win one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll try to do that on Wednesday.
Wednesday night, that's going to be where it is. We'll be right back here, and who knows, maybe we'll be at Target Center for one more too. But until then, I'm Andrew. Signing off from Target Center from section, 116, with a vacuum cleaner going on in the background. There's just a whole lot of shit that's happening right now. So,
Links play tomorrow. Going for 5-0.
Yeah, well, maybe this place will see a win.
I think this place is going to see a championship in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's just not setting up to be the Timberwolves, but...
That's what the links are for, right? Always have been.
Absolutely. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Go Wolves.
Ayoo!